Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, November 9th, 2015. Here are our top stories.
Tonight, the climate panic as the massive trade agreement nears. Then, did you know that a nuke was fired off the coast of California? And political insider and Donald Trump advisor Roger Stone on the Clinton machine. That's next.
Bill Clinton, admittedly, I saw the numbers a few months ago, more than half the tens of millions he raises a year with his charity off black kids goes for his fleet of private jets and foundation homes he lives in all over the world. Well, something like $25 million a year goes to it. But he says he likes black people, so they worship him. I mean, it is just, it's just sick. You don't control me, Bill Clinton, you piece of crap.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new, groundbreaking, gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Well, of course, this last weekend, we had a test missile fired as part of military exercises off the coast of L.A. It alarmed quite a few people, and the pictures were absolutely amazing. Some of them truly did look like a UFO. It looked like the missile was right overhead. But we're told by the local press that secrecy was crucial in this missile test launch that rattled L.A. Southern California, they say, and L.A. now, is now well aware of the light in the sky that caused so much discussion Saturday night. It was an unarmed Trident II D5 missile test flight off the coast. No, by the way, those things cost $30 million each, but, you know, who's counting? This is the Defense Department, right? The test was top secret. The military was released relatively little information, but officials acknowledged they didn't anticipate the brightness of the launch and the public's reaction. Yet, who would know that that would be so bright? I mean, you know, have they ever done one of these things before? They don't have any idea it's going to be so bright. Of course, this is in a bright city, but, you know, it also brings up the question, and we're going to look at this from multiple angles. Why do they consistently do these tests close to the most heavily populated areas in the United States? And they go on to say, at the same time, the military is determined to keep tests shrouded in secrecy to thwart any efforts by potential adversaries, namely Russia and China, to monitor the missile launch and flight. So essentially only the American public is to be kept in the dark, because we know that the Russians and the Chinese are watching the U.S. military just like we watch their military. Now, they had announced this on Friday that they were closing air traffic west of LAX airport. Nevertheless, they didn't give any kind of idea to anyone. It was not widely reported even that they were diverting flights, and no one had an idea that this was going to happen. And I question whether or not maybe this was even an accident. You don't think that could happen? Look at what happened on the East Coast only about a week or so ago with the blimp terrorizing the Northeast. Of course, that couldn't happen either. And there are also questions about the effectiveness, the operational ability of the Trident system itself. There was an article this last May about what was happening in the UK program, the Trident missiles, and of course they're the same system that we have here in the United States. They buy this from the U.S. They say information released by a submariner who blew the whistle on poor safety practices and equipment failures on board HMS Vanguard, one of the Royal Navy's nuclear-armed Trident submarines, indicates that the UK may not be able to guarantee launch of any time nuclear strike that the Trident system is designed to deliver. This is a man named William McNeely, an engineering technician who until recently served on board the HMS Vanguard. He claims the submarine was not able to successfully complete tests to demonstrate that it would be able to launch its payload of missiles. He claims that at the end of one patrol, the Vanguard failed to pass two critical tests intended to confirm whether it could have performed a successful missile launch. Problems caused by seawater entering the submarine's hydraulic system used to open the hatches, which seal the Trident missile launch tubes, prevented the sub from completing a critical battle-ready test required to demonstrate that the hatches would open correctly. And then he points out another test, known as the WP-186 missile compensation test, conducted three times, failed all three occasions, intended to show that the missile compensation system can accurately compensate for changes in weight of the sub during a Trident missile launch. Failure to pass a test means that the missiles will launch from an unstable platform if they are fired. So we understand that the military needs to test this. We also understand that they need to demonstrate to the Russians and the Chinese how tough they are, that their systems work. But of course, they have absolute contempt for the American public when they do this. This is a report that we have on InfoWars today. Michael Snyder asks, why did the U.S. launch a nuclear missile that would be visible from L.A. without any warning? Of course, he points out that when the U.S. military established a no-fly zone west of L.A. for a week, it raised many eyebrows, but nobody expected this. And this could be seen even by people living in Arizona and Nevada. And I have to point out that when the military is doing exercises, again, they're going to continue to do these exercises for the next week. Do you remember that when Flight 800, TWA 800, went down, and that was off of Long Island, close to New York City, and the Navy was conducting exercises at that time. There were many eyewitnesses that said they saw a cruise missile heading up and toward the commercial airliner. There's been a documentary on that that went into great detail, the cover-up, subsequent cover-up, the confiscation of tapes, the FBI's role in all this. That's what we have to be concerned about. And the question is, why does the military continue to do these exercises in populated areas? And, of course, they're there to send a message, not only to the Russians and to the Chinese, but to the American people. Essentially, that was what Jade Helm was about. They were sending a message to us. Just like when they do an exercise in the near the Ukraine, they're sending a message to the Russians. And clearly, this was a message that they were sending. They point out in this article, last night's test of the Trident missile system over Orange County was staged near a high population area for a tactical reason, to have as many witnesses and videos as possible, to send a very visible warning message to China that says, we can destroy you if you don't back off. Yes, and of course, they could care less about the safety and the information given to the American public, because we're simply pawns and their global scheme. Understand that the government is not there to protect you. They're not there to defend you. The Defense Department is there to guarantee continuity of government. And if that means that you're around to pay the bills, then fine. If not, they could care less. And neither could the Republican candidates who put a for sale sign around their necks for the military-industrial complex. As Kurt Nemo points out today in this article, Republican candidates call for war. Republicans want intervention in Syria, Iraq, Libya, everywhere. Why not? Let's go to war with everyone, including the Russians and the Chinese. Senator Rubio, Jeb Bush, John Kasich are all calling for military intervention in response to the suspected downing of a Russian airliner last week. And we should also add to that list Ben Carson, who was boasting last week, as he said, remember when Obama sent 50 military advisors to Syria, and that's the way the Vietnam War began to ramp up. Donald Trump said, this is not it. You either go big or go home. Well, we could have a discussion as to whether or not there's any authority for the president to have a war, couldn't we? We could have a question as to whether or not this is something we need to be doing. But Trump rightfully questioned the efficacy of this and if this is something we want to begin. However, Ben Carson said, well, I have big plans. I have much bigger plans. He says, my much, much bigger plan involves Putin and Iran, you know, beating his chest. Here's somebody who puts himself out there as a gentle Christian, beating his chest, talking about how he wants to bring us to the brink of World War III by challenging Putin. Really? Really? Rand Paul says Clinton and Rubio are both neoconservatives. He blasted their support of intervention in Middle Eastern countries. He said Hillary Clinton is a neoconservative just like Marco Rubio. And he said this on Sunday's CNN State of the Union with Jake Tapper. He said, I see her as a neoconservative. And they said, really? He says, yeah, well, you know, she and Rubio, and you could add to that list, of course, Lindsey Graham, Ben Carson, Jeb Bush, all the people who are carrying the luggage of the military-industrial complex. He said they both wanted a no-fly zone. They both have supported activity in Libya. The war in Libya that toppled Gaddafi was an intervention that made us less safe. Precisely. The policies of our government are not defending us. The policies of our government, when it creates all of these wars, are not making us safer. They are putting us at greater risk. They are willing to send you. They're willing to send your children to war to die for the profits of the military-industrial complex. And these people who are running for presidency, whether it's Hillary Clinton or the vast majority of those within the GOP who are running for president, they are simply puppets and whores for the military-industrial complex. But it doesn't end there. The military-industrial complex is always looking for ways to expand warfare. Look at this article. Lethal cyber warfare. Pentagon secretly develops cyber weapons that are able to kill. And remember, we had this discussion a while back when there were some cyber attacks, and I said, well, you know, we really need to discuss whether or not this is real terrorism or not. I mean, you know, maybe this doesn't rise to the level of an attack on a country, or maybe it does. They were having this back and forth because they said, you know, if you have an attack on a country, it has to involve something destructive or taking people's lives. Well, they're working on that. They're working on that. DARPA is working on that. They say so-called logic bombs, instead of using traditional explosive projectiles, would essentially be able to direct an enemy's critical infrastructure to self-destruct, likely with a loss of human life. And this is according to a site called NextGov. It's a web-based information resource that reports on technology used by the U.S. federal government. Now, this is in addition to the autonomous killing robots that they are talking about having, you know, swarms of drones that don't need any human intervention to murder people in massive numbers. And they can just say, oh, you know, it was a software error, you know, plausible deniability, you know, how that works out, right? So we have these autonomous killing drones, autonomous killer robots. We have the Pentagon Papers that we've talked about that talk about what the battlefield is going to look like in 15, 20 years, something that will be completely automated. And now they're talking about taking it into actual cyberspace as well. And they say digital arms designed to kill are sanctioned. There you go. Just like 007. We've got our own assassinating digital arms now, because that's what we have become. A government that openly assassinates people and could care less about innocent civilians that they call collateral damage. That's what we see going on with these drone strikes under Obama. You remember Obama, the guy who ran as a peace-loving Democrat who has now been involved in seven wars and openly assassinating people with drones? We used to be ashamed of that. We used to have, remember when we had hearings back in the 1970s, the church hearings, where they were embarrassed and ashamed that they were caught plotting assassinations of Castro and others. Now, they brag about it. People like Lindsey Graham brag about it. Obama brags that he's really good at killing people. And understand that as the U.S. war machine expands this capability, that even if they're first, other countries will get it. So when they invent these capabilities, whether it's killer robots, drone swarms that can kill people, or cyber attacks that can blow up infrastructure, understand that the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, everybody is eventually going to be using this to come after us as well. That's what happens when you invent these kinds of weapons that DARPA is constantly pushing on. But of course, it never stops them from tracking you. They may want to have all of their weapons tests be completely secret, but they don't want anything that you do to be secret. Look at this article here. How law enforcement can use Google Timeline to track your every move. This comes from The Intercept. They say the recent expansion of Google's Timeline feature can provide investigators unprecedented access to users' location history data, allowing them in many cases to track a person's every move over the course of a number of years, according to a report recently circulated to law enforcement. Isn't it convenient that Google, that began with venture capital funding from the CIA, isn't it interesting that now that they've just passed CISA, which relieves them of any liability that they would have releasing information like that to you, about you, to the law enforcement, isn't it interesting now that this feature is released just in time, just as they release that? Now, as they point out, it's possible for Google to submit to a legal demand. Of course it is possible for them to do it. They don't have any legal liability anymore because of CISA. And of course, that allows the government, even if the company was not a willing participant in this, even if they hadn't been involved in this, which I believe from the very beginning, nevertheless, the government could hold a gun to their head and say, you don't have any legal liability. Why would you withhold this? You better not withhold it. Turn it over. So now it's possible for them to submit a legal demand to Google for location history that is greater than 6 months old. And this is a report that was written by a law enforcement trainer, Aaron Edens. And he provides detailed guidance for law enforcement, the police, on the wealth of historic location information that is available through Google Timeline and how they can request it. So now law enforcement will get all the information that it wants about you. Yeah, we the people don't know anything about what our government is doing, what the military is doing, or what the militarized police are doing. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about Ben Carson's resume gate. We're also going to talk about climate change and the panic that is beginning right now as a buildup to the Paris conference at the end of this month. And later in the program, we're going to have an extended interview with Roger Stone. He's a political consultant to presidents since and including Richard Nixon. He was a former campaign advisor to Donald Trump. We're going to talk to him about Donald Trump, and we're going to talk to him about his books, the one that's just been released, The Clintons' War on Women, and his upcoming book about Jeb Bush, Jeb and the Bush Crime Family. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Unfortunately, you've grown up hearing voices that incessantly warn of government as nothing more than some separate, sinister entity that's at the root of all our problems.
It's time to stop submitting to this tyranny. It's time to realize that we're being enslaved.
Some of these same voices also do their best to gum up the works. They'll warn that tyranny's always lurking just around the corner.
Tyranny with a capital T.
You should reject these voices.
Everything that's been done with torture, rendition, the NDAA, the Patriot Acts 1 and 2, from day one was focused on the American people, period. That's it. It's always been about erasing the Bill of Rights and Constitution and rolling out NSA spying publicly, saying it's for Al-Qaeda, rolling out torture, saying it's for Al-Qaeda, but it's really for the general public. Rolling out total control and the end of any underground free market systems in the name of fighting Al-Qaeda, but really shutting down any type of free commerce. This is all about converting us from a free society to a tyranny with a capital T.
Can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new groundbreaking gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly, low maintenance, replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139. The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com. Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and cannot be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosylcobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
Is it fair to question a resume candidate on his resume? Ben Carson is a resume candidate. He's running on himself as a person, talking about how honest and how humble he is. Is it fair to question the details? Of course it is. Let's get over this idea that there is some objective media out there. The leftist media is going to vet the GOP candidates very hard, just like the conservative media vetted Obama. But that doesn't give anyone an excuse to say, hey, the media let Obama get away with lying. Why can't I lie too? In my opinion, that is essentially what Ben Carson is saying. But I think it tells us something about us as well. I think it tells us that not only is the media biased and we refuse to admit that there's a conservative as well as a liberal media, there's a Republican and Democratic media, but we also need to understand that the American people don't want to hear this once they get invested in a particular candidate. Just as the left didn't want to hear anything negative or questionable about Obama's secret past, they also don't want to hear anything about their current candidates. They just stop their ears and say, I'm not listening. I'm not listening. Don't talk to me about it. Well, you need to look at what these people who want to exercise power over you, you need to look at what they're proposing to do, but you need to also look at them carefully if they're running as a resume candidate. Now, the Wall Street Journal points out Ben Carson's past faces deeper questions. This is what his campaign manager, Barry Bennett, said on Friday. He said, there's no facts saying they are not true. We are guilty until proven innocent. You have no reason to believe that they're not true. There is no evidence to point to the fact that they're even questionable. Well, I question it. And let's listen to what he told Sean Hannity, how he explained this when questioned.
In your book, Gifted Hands, that you were 17 years old and you were introduced in 1969 to General William Westmoreland, who had just ended his command with the U.S. forces in Vietnam, and that you dined together. Is that true?
It may well have been, but what I...
I mean, did you hear that? When Sean Hannity asked him point blank, is that true? And Ben Carson said, well, it might have been. Really? Seriously? He wrote this in a book? He put it in writing? He's been using this in multiple speeches over the years? I guess the question I have is, if you're not sure of the details, and he goes on to say, it was 40 years ago, I'm not really sure of those details. It could have been true. It could have been true. And that's what his campaign manager says. Prove that it isn't true. Well, if he admits that he doesn't remember the details, why should we have to prove that it's not true? And it makes absolutely no sense. But of course, I guess the other part of this is, why does he feel compelled to brag about what he did in junior ROTC 40 or 50 years ago? Really? Seriously? Who cares? I mean, would you care if I was running for president and I talked about my band medals that I got in high school? It's absolutely insane. But it gets worse than this. They point out in the Wall Street Journal, in his 1990 autobiography, Gifted Hands, Mr. Carson writes of a Yale psychology professor who told Carson, then a junior, other students in the class, identified by Mr. Carson as Perceptions 301, that their final exam papers had been inadvertently burned, requiring all 150 students to retake it. The new exam, he recalled in the book, was much tougher, and everyone walked out but Ben Carson. Now, when I read this to my family, they went hysterical laughing. I mean, this is a narrative that is questionable. It is questionable. So you ought to have a way to back this up. And it gets even worse. It gets even more hysterical. He said, the professor came toward me. With her was a photographer for the Yale Daily News who paused and snapped my picture. A hoax, the teacher said. We wanted to see who was the most honest student in the class. And Mr. Carson wrote that the professor then handed him a $10 bill. Really? Really? I mean, does that sound plausible at all to you? It doesn't. Yale students 40, 50 years ago would be competitive enough that they would not walk out of an exam because it was tough. Okay. Then they go on to say, this is when they vetted him. They said, well, there's no photo identifying Mr. Carson in the paper. There was no class called Perceptions 301, said librarian Clarence Spies on Friday. There was no psychology class of that. See, that's the problem that you get into. Now, when he pushed back on this, what he did, amazingly enough, was he responded to this by posting on Facebook a parody of this situation. And what happened with this, according to his explanation, according to this newspaper clip, was the Yale Record, which is a parody newspaper, made a parody of the real school newspaper, the Yale Daily News, doing an exact copy of it, saying that some students who were in a psychology class would have to retake the exam that had been lost. Okay, now, the question is, it still doesn't exactly match the details, the elaboration, the need to boast. That should be raising red flags for people all over the place. But if that's true, understand that what Ben Carson is telling us is that he was owned by an Onion type of publication, that he went back and he took an exam that was a hoax, and he still, 40 or 50 years later, doesn't get it. Well, you know what? I don't get when Ben Carson says on Friday, let's talk about issues here that are really substantive. When he looks at the TPP, and in less than 24 hours, he says, that's great. I support that. Because remember, back earlier this year, he says, well, I'm not really sure that we should go with this. He now has aligned himself with the GOP's establishment wing. In less than 24 hours, he looked at the TPP, and he says, I can go with that. Now, Breitbart did a great example of this, because the TPP is huge, or as Donald Trump would say, huge, right? 6,000 pages. Do you realize how much that is? Well, let's try to put that in some examples. They point out that it is three times bigger than the King James Version of the Bible. Let me ask all the Christians out there who support Ben Carson. Have you ever read the King James Bible cover to cover three times in one night? Do you think you would understand it? Do you think you would understand this highly technical legal document and be able to read that in one night? No, no. Here's some other examples. It's six times longer than Obamacare. It is four times longer than the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy and The Hobbit. Four times longer than that. And it is four times longer than the complete works of William Shakespeare. But, you know, Ben Carson honestly took a look at that and said, yeah, you know, I could go for that. I was opposed to that before, but I can see I was wrong now. You know what he did? He just put a big for sale sign around his neck. He just said, I'm for sale to special interest, to the multinational corporations who wrote this agreement, to the GOP establishment, to the donors that I would like to have. Just like Jeb and Rubio and these other people have done with this. He has basically put a big for sale sign around his neck, and he has become a political whore. And that's what you need to understand about Ben Carson. Rand Paul slams Rubio over the Obama trade. He said, we should read legislation before we vote on it. Oh, that was back in June of this year when they passed the Trade Promotion Authority. And this is what Rand Paul said at the time. He said, I have a bill called Read the Bills Act. In it, there's a requirement that you have to wait one day for every 20 pages of legislation. So let's talk about those numbers. If you took 20, if you took a day to look at each 20 pages of these, of this agreement, and that would not be unreasonable since this is a highly technical legal document. And one person from New Zealand who looked at this said, unless they give us the accompanying legal discussions, legal documents, which they have still embargoed for the next 6 years through the duration of this agreement, unless we have that context and that commentary, we still are going to have trouble making sense of this. But let's just say that it was simply that agreement, a highly technical legal contract that is going to reinvent our entire economy, attack our freedom of speech, change our national sovereignty. Do you think that, 20 pages a day would be reasonable? I that would be kind of an aggressive pace, but that would take 300 days at that pace to read through this bill. Maybe what Ben Carson and Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush, all these people who have seen this and agree with it, maybe what they could do is get the Cliff Notes version from Jeff Sessions, who actually took the time, Senator Sessions took the time to look at the TPP, and he warned people about it even before they passed the Trade Promotion Act. And now he's saying, we have to kill this thing before it goes any further. He says, we have to repeal this fast-track trade authority. And let me explain to Ben Carson and to Ben Carson's followers why we should be concerned about this. In the words of the senator, the honest senator, who actually did take the time to read it. He says it is by definition anti-democratic. No individual American has the resources to endure his or her economic and political interests to ensure that they are safeguarded within this vast global regulatory structure. The predictable and surely desired result of the TPP is to put a greater distance between those who are governed and the governed. It puts those who make the rules out of the reach of those who live under the rules. It empowers unelected regulators who cannot be recalled or voted out of office. In turn, it diminishes the power of the people's bulwark, their constitutionally formed Congress. And he goes on to say, among the TPP's endless pages are rules for labor, environment, immigration, every aspect of global commerce. A new international regulatory structure to promulgate, implement, and enforce these rules. But of course, Ben Carson can't be concerned to read that. He just endorses it and puts himself out for sale. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk to Roger Stone, a consultant for Donald Trump, as well as an advisor to presidents since Richard Nixon. We're going to talk to him about Hillary Clinton and his new book, The Clinton's War on Women. We'll be right back.
Your liver can be full of fatty deposits, built-up toxins, and even dangerous objects known as liver stones. We worked with the top developers in the field of detox to take tried and true herbs and other compounds known to safely cleanse the liver and fused it with the latest research and technological development on concentrating these ingredients to give you the maximum effect. Liver Shield is the only liver support product on the market that uses a patented Spigerex blend of powerful organic herbs that support detoxification. And when you visit InfoWarsLife.com, see the instructional video on how to do a 6-day liver detox. This isn't a game, and let me tell you, the results are dramatic. Liver Shield is totally organic and made of the safest high-quality herbs. But that said, you need to consult your physician before you do the full detox. Liver Shield can also be used daily by itself for overall upkeep of the liver. Secure your Liver Shield today exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com for the lowest price available. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
I want more candy. I want more video games. Why, why, why?
And it's that type of behavior that spurred me to do the research to develop a true nutraceutical formula that was designed to smooth out and help children focus. All of our children are hit with modern mind control. Television, music, fast food, GMOs, sugars, you name it. Young humans have not yet developed their nervous system and are being hammered daily by globalist concoctions. It's no wonder they can't focus and calm down and then are put on dangerous psychotropic drugs. Working with my team, we set out to find the best formula with the highest quality ingredients that children would actually like and take. We worked with the leading manufacturer in nutritional supplements that are safe for children to bring you the most affordable and powerful calming formula out there. Introducing Child Ease with herbs and calming extracts like chamomile and lemon balm and essential nutrients that taste great. Obtain your Child Ease today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's Child Ease exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com. Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
Well, tonight we're joined by Roger Stone. Of course, he has a very long history with presidents throughout history. He's written 3 books. This is the 3rd book we're going to talk to him about tonight. But of course, he's written about Who Killed JFK, The Case Against LBJ, Nixon's Secrets, The Rise, The Fall, The Untold Truth About the President and Watergate, and now this book that we're going to talk to him about tonight, Clinton's War on Women. I'm very anxious to talk to Mr. Stone. He's a political consultant, a lobbyist, a strategist, and of course, you have been there for a long time at the epicenter of history, really.
Yeah, I like to say I spent 40 years in the corroded rectum of the two-party system. You know, I worked on the Senate side for Senator Bob Dole as an assistant to Dole. I worked on the House side as an assistant to Congressman Robert Steele. I was a lobbyist, which is the job I liked the least. I'm a veteran of 9 Republican presidential campaigns, starting with Richard Nixon, who was really my mentor. I was the youngest member of the staff of the committee to reelect the president, the notorious
Creep.
Committee. Yeah, I went to the Watergate grand jury myself 3 times.
Really?
I was only 19 years old.
Wow.
I worked as a senior aide to Ronald Reagan in 3 presidential campaigns, 1976, 1980, 1984. I reluctantly came in at the end of the 1988 election to help George H.W. Bush. One of the things in my life I regret. I dropped in for the recount because Jim Baker, who had been Reagan's chief of staff, was a friend and someone who I owed politically. And in my business, if you don't pay off your debts, you're out of business pretty quick. And then, frankly, with the nomination of Mitt Romney, despite my long sentimental attachment to the Republican Party, I left to become a libertarian. I just couldn't stomach the fact that the Republican Party of Barry Goldwater, a party dedicated to small government and fiscal responsibility and personal freedom and liberty, had become the Wall Street Party, had become the party of endless war,
yes,
erosion of civil liberties, massive debt, spending worse than the Democrats in the Bush years, far worse. I couldn't take it anymore.
And of course, what Romney Care was essentially the same as Obamacare. I mean, he had done that with Ted Kennedy, perfect example of how at the top they're the same.
What aggravated me was that Romney's running around the country saying, Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan. You know what? In 1980, you know who he supported for president? Paul Tsongas, the left-wing senator from Massachusetts.
Sure.
Mitt Romney wasn't even a registered Republican until he ran for governor, and then he became a Republican to run. So he's just an opportunist. And he couldn't even sound like, you know, I'm a severely conservative. What does that mean?
Yeah.
The guy couldn't even talk the talk, never mind walk the walk. So I helped Governor Gary Johnson, who's a very accomplished and pro-freedom, pro-liberty, 2-term governor of New Mexico,
yes,
who had a great track record for economic growth and personal freedom. I helped get him on the ballot in 48 states. And I found that to be both a great experience and a very frustrating experience, because the Presidential Commission on Debates is not appointed by the president.
Right.
It's not a commission, and it's not about debate. It's about limiting debate to the two Tweedledum, Tweedledee, two-party duopoly that stand for the same thing. They didn't want anybody to know that there was a third choice.
And of course, this is a guy who is a very popular two-term governor as a Republican of a Democrat state. And they would say, you're not going to be invited to the debates because you didn't show up in the polls. But they wouldn't even put his name on the polls.
Well, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you're not in the debate, you can't rise in the polls. And if you don't rise in the polls, you can't get in the debate.
And if they don't put your name on the poll, you're not going to do well on the poll either. So they've got it rigged multiple angles.
Yeah. And they changed the rules, as Ross Perot found out in 92. When you reach a certain level, or with Ron Paul at the Republican National Convention, you needed a majority of six states to vote to have your name put on the ballot. So when Congressman Paul got to six states, they quickly changed the rule to eight.
Yeah.
They did the same thing with Gary Johnson. You had to reach a certain number of the votes in two successive polls. So when he met that threshold, they changed the rule very quickly to three.
Yeah.
They didn't want the people to know that there was a candidate who wanted to end the war in Afghanistan. They didn't want people to know there was a candidate who would have legalized marijuana and ended the war on drugs. Mm-hmm. They didn't want them to know that there was a candidate who would repeal the Patriot Act and the NDAA. They didn't want people to know that those alternatives were even available. I met a very rich woman the other day. Hedge fund manager, pro-liberty. And she said, I just didn't know what to do. I didn't want to vote. I didn't like Obama and I didn't like Romney and I just felt I had no choice. I said, well, what about Governor Gary Johnson? She said, who?
Yeah.
She didn't even know he ran.
Yeah.
Because the New York Times never covered it. They barely mentioned his name as if he didn't even exist. And she lived in New York City. She was unaware that there was an alternative.
Now, of course, you've been at the epicenter of politics, as you point out, going way, way back. Going back to Nixon when you were actively involved, you got interested with Barry Goldwater. But, of course, recently you've been at the epicenter of everything with Donald Trump. Until August, you were one of his inside campaign advisors. Now, he's somebody who knows about the war on drugs. Let me give you this quote going back to April 15, 1990. He met with some people. He blamed the country's drug problems on politicians who, quote, don't have any guts. He said enforcement efforts were a joke. He said we're losing badly the war on drugs. He told 700 people at the luncheon Friday, you have to legalize drugs to win that war. You have to take the profits away from the drug czars. You and I both know that's exactly true.
Yes.
As libertarians. So
yes.
Is he going to come out with that? Is he going to be able to do that with the Republicans, or is he going to have to wait until the general election to say something like that?
It's important to understand that Donald Trump is a man who has never had an alcoholic drink in his entire life, not even a glass of wine. His brother died of acute alcoholism, so addiction is something that he's experienced firsthand. Mm. But he understands that incarceration, which is very expensive and ineffective, is not the solution to the problem, and that the enforcement efforts are just expensive and failed. So, yeah, I think he would seek to view drug addiction as a health problem, not a law enforcement problem. Mm-hmm. And he realizes when you compare the dollars to the results that the war on drugs has been a big, expensive failure. Trump is about results. He's a businessman.
Businessmen, and it's failed for 44 years.
Right. Businessmen look at any program or any business in this case, because government really is a business, and they look at the cost and the effect to see if anything they do has been cost effective.
You got a lot of people that are talking about that right now. This weekend, you had Chris Christie had a viral video that came out where he's talking about a friend of his who got addicted to prescription drugs, talking about how the war on drugs is a failure. We need to treat it as a medical situation. But, of course, he's still for having the law enforcement branch of this. He doesn't want to legalize marijuana. As a matter of fact, Chris Christie would come after the states who have legalized it, like Colorado. And I'm really confused about his situation.
Yeah,
you've also got others who are now coming out. You know, Jeb Bush is talking about his daughter now, before he was coming after the newspapers that they talked about her. Now Jeb Bush is talking about his daughter who was addicted to alcohol and prescription drugs.
I think Jeb is concerned because he is worried that his own background as both a drug dealer and a drug user, when compared to his support for much tougher penalties, mandatory penalties for those caught with small amounts of drugs, is a question of epic hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. Senator Rand Paul raised this question. I mean, the truth is, because Jeb Bush is white and privileged and wealthy, he can do drugs and pay no penalty.
Yeah.
But the poor African American guy who gets caught with a little bit of marijuana for his personal use in Florida, I can tell you where he's going.
Yeah.
Jail.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
exactly.
I think he is concerned that that some of his earlier dealings are likely to become public, and therefore he's now trying to soften his views as the macho drug warrior that he is.
Mm-hmm.
I have a book coming out in January, Jeb and the Bush Crime Family,
yes,
which really details Jeb's early days and his involvement with drugs in the, you know, prior to his government service.
That's one I really want to read, and I really want to have you back to talk about that, because right now, I don't, well, I guess he'll still be there because he's got a lot of money that he collected when he began, but he's not collecting any money right now, and basically his exclamation mark has gone flaccid. So he's going to be pretty, it's going to be a must-win situation for him in New Hampshire. Your book is going to come out just a few days before the New Hampshire primary.
Yeah, and I purposely, because mm-hmm. my book is it's an act of political action.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of questions in there that I think he needs to answer. But if the book published now, he would have a year, or he'd have, you know, 5 months, four
sure.
months to figure out how to answer these questions. And they'd go poll them and focus group them and, mm-hmm. you know, and massage mm-hmm. them and so on. And you get these qualified responses. No, I think that in essence, the Bushes and the Clintons are in it together. Not long ago, you remember Hillary started attacking Jeb. That's because Jeb was starting to flag in the Republican contest and she was trying to elevate him. This is
mm-hmm,
her,
mm-hmm.
this is her preferred,
they're bookends. And of course, that's the way the entire Republican Democrat situation has been. They,
right.
you know, they elevate each other.
Well, Jeb isn't going to raise the question about Bill's involvement in cocaine running in the United States, when he was governor of Arkansas because his own father was involved.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
it's kind of checkmate.
Mm-hmm.
They'll never, you know, Jeb will never get in Hillary's face. Jeb gave Hillary a medal.
Mm-hmm.
How do you run against somebody who gave a medal for public service?
Exactly.
And
we'll talk about
really
that when we come back, what was going on with Jeb and Jeb's father and going on with Noriega down in Central America. Stay with us. We're going to be right back. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Roger Stone, political consultant to Donald Trump, among many others, many former presidents as well. We'll be right back.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2.
I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there.
Take advantage of this at InfoWarsLife.com.
And why wearing a Hillary for President t-shirt might get you punched in the face.
They thought it said Hillary for President. He said, I was seconds away from sending my bar back over here to punch you in the face. Since you're wearing a Hillary for Prison shirt, you don't have to buy drinks here. Everything's on the house.
Hillary for President! Hillary's not surging, I tell you that. They're not saying that. They're not saying that. Thank you.
Donald Trump endorses Hillary for Prison. Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt at the InfoWars store. And on the back it says, legalize freedom. Show your disapproval of Hillary by buying your t-shirt today.
But what she's done is criminal.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
Welcome back. Joining us now is Roger Stone. We're continuing the interview on his book, The Clintons, A War on Women. And let's talk about this book. Now, we talked about what's coming up down the road in January with Jeb and the Bushes, the expose that you've got with that. And, of course, you mentioned they are bookends, perfect bookends, just like the Republican and Democrat parties themselves. They have this phony war, and yet they're both on the same team on so many different issues. But tell us, you know, the fundamental thing that Hillary is running on, of course, is the fact that she's a woman. We should elect her because she's a woman and she has compassion for women and understands their issues. But as we've seen from some of her husband's victims, they said Hillary Clinton is the war on women.
Yeah, Hillary's an advocate for women as long as you're not one of those women unlucky enough to have been sexually assaulted or raped by her husband. Mm-hmm. And if you are, now you're a target for Hillary Clinton. First, they undermine these women's credibility and they denigrate them, whores, trash, bitches, sluts. And then, of course, they use these heavy-handed private detectives to wage a veritable terror campaign to silence them lest they get in the way of the next election. Mm-hmm. And as I pinpoint in the book, it's Hillary who is the point person. She's the campaign manager for the war on terror. She's the one who hires the heavy-handed private detectives, Jack Palladino, Anthony Pelicano, Ivan Duda, to first keep tabs on these women and then to terrorize them into silence. And the tactics that are used show that Bill, first he rapes them physically, and then Hillary rapes them psychologically. Mm-hmm. As far as her advocacy for children, as I demonstrate in the book, Hillary, co-president Hillary, is the one who gave the order to attack the compound in Waco, where 18 children under the age of 8 were brutally murdered. Mm. She is the one who handpicks Janet Reno. She's the one who handpicks Janet Reno's deputy, Webster Hubble, her former lover. The real father of Chelsea Clinton, in my opinion. She is the one, according to T. March Bell, the chief House investigator into the Waco conflagration, and Senator Arlen Specter, who chaired the Senate committee hearings. They both determined that Hillary is the one who gave the final order in Waco. She was a veritable co-president. She vetted the cabinet. She fired the travel office personnel under false pretenses because she wanted to give that business to her cronies in Arkansas, the travel agency business, out of the White House. She is the one who concocted the first cut on Obamacare. Was originally Clinton care.
As a first lady. It's like, where does she have the authority to try to take over a major segment of the economy?
But they even told us in the campaign, remember, you get two for one.
Yes.
She was the co-president.
Yes.
Bill was out philandering, and she was running at least half, if not more, of the government. I think she's always worn the pants in this family.
Well, she was an investment genius. I mean, she had those cattle futures.
She did very, very well.
Yeah.
No, I think the point here is that half the people in the electorate, particularly half the women, have no memory of the Clinton presidency.
Yes.
So they don't remember that they stole the china and the silver and the furniture when they left and had to give it back. They don't remember the selling of pardons for massive contributions, the tax cheat and fraudster Mark Rich, who basically bought himself a pardon on Clinton's way out the door. They don't remember that Bill Clinton used a 22-year-old intern for his personal humidor, and that the entire tale of the Siemens stained dress and the lies, the fact that Bill Clinton was disbarred.
He lied under oath. And that's the key thing. It's not that he had an affair, but the fact that he perjured himself. He was a lawyer and the president. He perjured himself under oath about that, whatever it is. I mean, he took an oath. He understands the implications of that.
This book is not about Bill's consensual sex. It's not about the girlfriends, mistresses, one-night stands. If it did, the book would be much, much bigger. This is about something far darker. Rape. Bill Cosby-style sexual assault. And cover-up.
The cover-up.
And the strong-arm tactics, including the beating of witnesses, the violent beating of witnesses, used to suppress people who might come forward and tell the American public the truth about Bill and Hillary Clinton.
So I would assume that you would be one of the people who would say that Hillary is probably not going to go to jail for her emails, no matter how bad it gets, based on what they've been able to get away with.
Well, there's only one good piece of news, and that is I think the person in the country who dislikes her even more than me would be Barack Obama.
Hmm.
I think he remembers the Clintons, particularly Sidney Blumenthal, Sid Vicious, as we like to call him, spreading the rumor that Obama was a homosexual, spreading the rumor within the Democratic Party that he was the son of Frank Marshall Davis. They probably also remember Bill Clinton saying to Ted Kennedy, a few years ago, this guy Obama would be carrying our bags and getting our coffee. Mm. So I don't think there's any great love there. That Hillary has violated the law, not only in the email scandal, not only in the misuse of classified documents, but in the massive bribes that are being transferred through the Clinton Foundation. The real story here on the erasure of the emails is they show the trail, the nexus that between the Clinton Foundation and the State Department. So the Clintons made a very crafty decision that the heat they would take for destroying these documents would be less than the heat they would take if they were read. Yes. Because American foreign policy was for sale. Defense contracts were for sale. All you had to do was line the pockets of Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea, and you could buy anything you want at the State Department.
Yeah, that's why this book is so important for people to read. As you're pointing out, there's a whole generation here who is of voting age, and they don't know the story, the backstory of this. And, of course, that brings it all the way into the present, as you were talking to Alex Jones on the radio show earlier today. You pointed out that her close relationship with Huma Abedin.
Very, very odd. I mean, I just find this very strange. First of all, Huma Abedin, her parents and her brothers are both very active in the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yes.
Which I believe is a terrorist organization. Yeah. She has a full security clearance at the U.S. State Department. She is the person who vetted the emails and gets to decide what we should and should not say. Mm-hmm. Therefore, she's had access to classified documents.
Yeah.
She is the only person in the history of the federal government or the State Department to get a special waiver that allows her to work for the State Department full time. At the same time, she's working for Teneo, which is a Clinton-connected lobbying operation that lobbies the State Department on behalf of Middle Eastern governments while she's triple-dipping with a fat check from the Clinton Foundation. So she's making a huge amount of money. The conflict there is inherent. It's obvious. But a special deal is made for Huma that nobody else is allowed to have. And, of course, then there's the fact that and I like to call her Mrs. Carlos Danger because, of course, she is the wife of the sexual predator and freak Anthony Weiner, who humiliated her in public the same way that Bill has humiliated Hillary. Why do these women hang in? Why are they continued to be married to these abusers? I'll tell you why. Power. Power and money. I think either one of them will sustain any amount of humiliation at the hands of their husbands as long as they get what they want. My point is simply this. If you've watched House of Cards, the terrific TV series, Hillary is Claire Underwood. She will take anything from her husband as long as she gets the power and the money. And it has always been the plan for her to become president after him. Now, John F. Kennedy Jr. got in the way. He wanted that Senate seat in New York the same time that she did. What happened to him? That's my next book.
Well, you know, I was surprised. I really thought that Joe Biden would run because as you're talking about Obama and others, she's got a lot of enemies in the upper echelon of the Democrat Party, obviously. And I really thought that they were going to coalesce behind Joe Biden. What do you think as a political analyst and consultant?
I still don't think he's out of this race. If justice is served and she is indicted, which I still think is entirely possible, then Joe Biden doesn't engender the ire of the feminists that he would have gotten by challenging her. Now he's answering the call of the party to save the situation, stepping in and saving the party because unfortunately, Hillary jammed herself up with these legal problems. When I saw Barack Obama standing next to him in the Rose Garden, that's when it occurred to me that the fix may very well be in. There's not good blood. My friend and colleague Ed Klein, who's a great reporter, has really nailed this in his books. There's no love lost between the Clintons and the Obamas. The Clintons, I think, are true believing socialists. They're out there on the far left. The Clintons are crony capitalists. They'll be bought by the left, but they want the money. Show me the money.
Exactly.
So,
as Rand Paul pointed out, they're also neocons. I mean, they want every war because they can make money off of it.
Right. So, they're crony capitalists, and the idea that Hillary would somehow tame Wall Street, where do you think all this money she's burned through has come from?
Exactly.
Just like the $100 million that Jeb has amassed from Wall Street. This is why he's not going to drop out. It's why he will stay in the race.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading your book. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We could talk for a couple of hours easily on this. I'm very interested in seeing this, on catching up and refreshing my mind as to what's happened over the last 20, 25 years of Hillary Clinton. Roger Stone, The Clinton's War on Women. Thank you so much.
And thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams a piece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there.
InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.